I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
The following message is paid for by the legitimate businessmen of Bolivia and Venezuela.
Hi, I'm Edward Stone. I'm delusional. I'm a megalomaniac. I can't stop moving, and I have a stripper girlfriend. How did I get that way? Okay.
Bolivia, Venezuela, and snow, come party with us. Welcome to Pundit View, where we hear from pundits on the right and the left. On the right is Lem Bitberg, a radio talk show host from Sacramento or something.
The IRS delayed my nonprofit status.
And on the left is Alan Damon Kavanaugh, a columnist at some magazine with a circulation of less than 2,000.
Gay people are the new black people.
First topic, metaphysics. Lem, why does the universe consist of something instead of nothing? And why is it governed by one set of laws instead of another? Are there infinite universes using different laws, including one universe in which there is no universe?
Listen, if you don't like the laws of physics, go back to Kenya. America is the greatest country in the world. I love it so much that I'm trying to secede from it.
Alan, your thoughts?
First of all, use my entire name when you address me, Alan Damon Kavanaugh. Second of all, if the laws of the universe are unfair, it's Mitch McConnell's fault. The laws would be completely different if we had filibuster reform.
Great, that covers both sides of the issue. Next, number theory. What are numbers? Are they real objects or just formal systems? If numbers are non-physical concepts that exist beyond space and time, how can we be aware of them? Alan Damon Kavanaugh.
We'd be aware of everything if we only knew what the Koch brothers are doing.
Lem?
Numbers have a liberal bias.
Last topic. This quote from The Denial of Death, the philosophical opus by Ernest Becker. He said of human beings that, quote, we are gods with anuses. Please explain the meaning of that statement and provide three examples, Lem.
Becker is saying that human consciousness transcends our immediate perceptions and embraces the concept of eternity, but that we are still bound by the laws of mortality and nature. Benghazi!
Alan Damon Kavanaugh!
You said anus.
That's Pundit View for tonight. Tomorrow, to what extent does the Proto-Indo-European language still survive in modern English? And when and how did agriculture develop? Our pundits weigh in!
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hey, what are you doing? Come to Egypt. It's a wonderful time to visit the Middle East, and Egypt is the place to be. Never mind the pyramids, the Sphinx, and all that ancient history. Come for the recent history. Come for the coups. That's right. It's coup season in Egypt, and you need to be there on the front lines to see which side is going to be louder. You watched on TV as the Egyptian revolution tossed Hosni Mubarak out on his falafel. Now be there live to see who the Egyptian military is going to throw out next. Coup season is an exciting time in Egypt. You just missed the Egyptian military's deposing of President Mohamed Morsi. He was the first democratically elected president in Egypt and also in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood. You know who is not in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood? The other half of the population of Egypt. And boy, are they loud. Loud enough to start the coup. But don't worry, you didn't miss anything. As soon as the Muslim Brotherhood supporters get loud enough, the Egyptian military will be there for the deposing. Come and enjoy that coup, and remember to bring your burqa. Come to Egypt for coup season. The perpetual season that creates even more unrest in the Middle East, makes Obama uneasy, and makes Israel smirk. Egypt, coup season. Be there for the never-ending fun.
Brought to you by the Desperate Board of Egyptian Tourism.
Breaking news in the trial of George Zimmerman for the killing of Trayvon Martin. The jury has ruled that George Zimmerman is a blithering idiot. We take you live to the reading of the verdict in Sanford, Florida.
We, the jury, find the defendant, George Zimmerman, stupid. So stupid, in fact, that he does not know he is stupid and thinks the results of his stupid actions are part of God's plan, as if the sum total of all history, space, and creation were as laughably stupid as George Zimmerman. Because this is Florida, the defendant will probably be out in the streets again soon with a gun and he will probably shoot someone else in the same stupid way because, by his nature, he seems incapable of learning anything from this experience whatsoever. He is retarded. On the night of February 26, 2012, the defendant followed 17-year-old Trayvon Martin for no good reason, even after police told him not to. A fight ensued, just like any neutral observer would predict, presuming that said neutral observer possessed at least two-fifths of a functioning brain. Mr. Zimmerman then shot Mr. Martin because Mr. Zimmerman was carrying a gun like he was a policeman or something, which he will never be because his brain is unable to make wise enough decisions or retain a great deal of information. And although many policemen are quite intelligent, others are idiots. This means Mr. Zimmerman is dumber than the dumbest cop in Sanford, Florida, and that is saying something. We would like to express our condolences to the Martin family, as well as humanity in general, and we would like to remind everyone that this case probably would not even have been prosecuted had there not been a national outcry, because this is Florida and we suck.
That was a surprise verdict in the Trayvon Martin case. Again, if you're just tuning in, George Zimmerman has been found guilty of being a friggin' idiot, which carries a maximum penalty of living in Florida some more.
The Final Edition presents What If Donald Trump Were Winston Churchill? We take you to London, 1941.
Donald, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea.
Lady Astor, you are a complete loser, and you were not born with a brain. People should ignore you.
Really? That's your best comeback? Look, I say, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea. And you say, if you were my wife, I would...
If you were my wife, I would tell you to leave immediately, because you are not attractive. I pity your whole family.
Okay, let's try another comeback. I say, Donald, you are drunk. Now you say, in the morning, I'll be sober... But
it saddens me that you are so pathetic and you are stupid. You see, you cannot match wits with me, Lady Astor.
And indeed, she could not.
Okay, good day. Welcome to This Week in Canada. My guests, as usual, are Neil Young, Geddy Lee, and Kiefer Sutherland's grandfather. Who knows what happened this week in Canada? Geddy Lee?
No, his mind is not for rent to any god or government.
Okay, what are you talking about, eh? Are you promoting your tour again?
I'm talking about Snowden! Today's Ed Snowden, he gets high on you! And the Spacey Invades, he gets by on you!
Okay, I don't know what that's all about, but he's not Canadian, is he? Neil Young.
There is a town in North Bolivia. Freedom leaks, dreams, memory, despair.
Okay, just stop it, eh? I don't want to hear about any place that offered Snowden asylum if it's not in Canada. That goes for Bolivia, Venezuela, or Quebec.
I know how Snowden is connected to Canada.
Yes, Kiefer Sutherland's socialist grandfather.
The NSA spies on every country in the world, eh? That includes Canada.
The NSA records everything we say.
They're like Geffen Records, except less commercial.
We Canadians are committed to niceness, eh? Except for hockey and tar sands. Why didn't we offer asylum to Snowden?
I'll tell you why, eh? Okay, are you listening? It all comes down to Argo.
Argo.
That's right, eh? We can't have Argo showing the world how Canada helps Americans escape Iran and then have Canada help an American escape the U.S. You see?
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah. I see.
Yeah,
sure.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Really?
No.
Completely lost.
No, I don't see it now.
Look, that's about all the time we have, eh? Remember, there are only two kinds of people. Canadians and people who find Canadians mildly inoffensive.
Spread your tiny wings and fly away. And take snow back with you where it came from on that day.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour, and you love it. Yes, you do. And that's why you should look for our very first album, the Vinyl Edition, from the Final Edition Radio Hour, available online now. More details at thefinaledition.com.
The Final Edition takes you to the Liberal Inquisition. Today's session is taking place in the Court of Liberal Opinion.
You understand that you've been brought before the Bland Inquisitor?
No. Can you tell me why I'm here?
I'll do the inquisiting here. Have you been departing from liberal dogma?
I don't think so. I mean, I think I'm as left as I ever was.
Interesting. In the past week, did you say something favorable about Snowden?
All I said was that he was not as important as the information he's uncovered, which reveals that the U.S. has been violating the Fourth Amendment.
Did you hear a valid counterargument on social media?
Look, one of my friends said, if Snowden believes in freedom, why did he go to Russia?
And you weren't convinced by this argument?
I said I don't really care where he goes or who he is. I don't want the NSA spying on me.
Are you aware that Snowden is a Ron Paul supporter?
I don't care who he supports. The larger issue is the loss of freedom.
If you recant this heresy, you can get off with a simple revocation of your ability to watch MSNBC.
Please! Anything but that!
Did you make an approving remark last week about Paula Deen?
No! I said I found what she said of abhorrent.
But you said she shouldn't lose her show.
Yes, I did.
Are you aware that the essence of tolerance is intolerance?
No, I mean, yes.
For your crimes against the left, I must marginalize you. What? Henceforth, you will be known as a libertarian, or an environmentalist, or an Elliot Spitzer supporter.
No!
Or something.
No, please!
Next.
Hello, Bland Inquisitor.
Mr. President, I did not expect to see you here.
Nobody expects me at the Liberal Inquisition. I just want to make sure my liberal credentials are still in order.
Well, let me see. You're still authorizing spying on Americans. You're sending drones to kill civilians. You're delaying Obamacare. Yep, everything's in order.
There's something I want to confess.
What is it?
I don't know how to say this, but I have to admit, I don't really like James Taylor.
You know, ordinarily, that would be enough to get you banned and your entire family banned from the liberal community for life. But I can bend the rules.
Thanks. I know I do.
Shower the people you love with love. Show them the way.
The Final Edition presents What If Donald Trump Were Socrates? We take you to Greece in the year 408 BCE.
Donald, I pray thee explain, what is wisdom? Is it when we realize how little we understand about life, ourselves, and the world around us?
You are a total lightweight. Only a total lightweight would ask me that question. You are dumb, and you are stupid, and you are a lightweight.
Pray thee, Donald, you don't have to be a dick about it. Why do you sit in the public square begging for attention if you are just going to yell at people?
Listen, I don't have time for you. I have dinner reservations at 2 o'clock and I gotta change my suit.
You're having dinner at 2 o'clock.
And then I'm having another dinner at 5 and I gotta change my suit for that. I am very important. and I wear many expensive suits.
And so his students walked away enlightened. Once upon a time, the Republican Party found a genie who granted the party three wishes. For their first wish, they got an undisclosed amount of hard cash. For their second wish, they were allowed to shout the N-word over a loudspeaker for 1 hour a week without repercussions. And for their third wish, they brought Ronald Reagan back to life.
Now that we have raised Ronald Reagan back from the dead, the Republican Party can once again take its preeminent place in America. Mr. President, the microphone is yours.
Well, thank you. As you know, I died in 2004, so I don't know how well my policies have worked out. Refresh my understanding. Deficits still don't matter, right?
We're against those now. We're the fiscal responsibility.
We're not still the party of deficit spending and tax hikes on the middle class?
No. I really don't like to think about it that way.
I'm just getting caught up. We still give tax cuts to the rich, right?
We sure do.
So there's no unemployment.
There's still some. It's kind of around.
Because that was the whole point. All right. How about government spending? Did privatization work out all right?
There's a man named Edward Snowden.
Did financial deregulation turn out to be a good idea?
Moody's and Standards and Poor's.
Did we ever win that war on drugs?
No.
We're thinking of just like quitting on
getting
that
there.
One.
Yeah. Slowly
it's like
sure.
Vietnam, Mr. President.
We've
it's like
mostly,
Vietnam.
Everybody's in jail.
We're never out.
Global warming turned out to be a hoax, right?
Actually, a lot of stuff is melting. Pieces of Antarctica are gone anymore.
I don't think we can really deny that.
There's a hurricane season in New York.
How about AIDS? Ignoring it turned out to be the best policy, right?
Well,
that's not actually
that
bad on our part.
Yeah. We're still living that one down.
All right. Foreign policy. Is El Salvador a paradise yet?
Oh, this is a pit.
Oh my God, corrupt, dangerous down there. Don't even go there.
No, it's never.
Never got any better.
Aren't we still arming Saddam Hussein?
Oh boy.
No.
Well, that's tricky.
No, that's a tricky one there, mister.
How about Afghanistan? We're still supporting the rebels, right? What's that one commander's name I always liked? Osama bin Laden. What's he doing?
All right, somebody make him stop.
No, we gotta stop talking.
No, we don't need it. Somebody get him out.
So when the Republican Party found another genie, they wished Reagan had been right about everything. And the genie turned Reagan into Paul Krugman. You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. Visit thefinaledition.com every day for more sizzling satire with teeth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another exciting edition of
Name That Bullet!
I'm Harlan Hierson, and you all know my lovely assistant, Lori.
Hello again, boys. Fire 'em up!
You heard her, fellas. It's time to get started.